The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen.
Daf Yud Gimel. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat. Morzek and Yosef Ben Sarav, Moradatze Kanati, Yafa Bat Sarav, Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther, Hashem Tenham Ben Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashlema, Moshe Ben Dina, Sarah Ruhama Bat Rachel, Sarah Bat Rachel, Elna Nefer Nefer Nefesh, Ufuatem, Kremelo, Vekhe Yirasom, Venomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Bet Amud Bet, and we are starting from Tanya. That is about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines from the bottom. Let's just go review quickly. We're talking about over the great machlok between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds giving a get to a lady as well as a shechrur to an eved is considered a chov. And therefore, since it's considered a chov, the master or the husband can back out, so long as it does not reach the hands of the lady or the eved. Because since it's a chov, we have a rule, en havin le'adam shelo b'fanav. So long as the lady, let's say, did not appoint a shaliach to accept her get, so she doesn't know about it, so the shaliach is zocheh for her, but since it's not a zechut, it's a chov, so therefore, so long as it does not reach her hands, the husband is allowed to retract. Hachamim argued on Rabbi Meir regarding an Eved. Well, they agree that a lady divorcing is a Chov, but a Eved is considered a Zechut. So now the Gemara is going to go back to that conversation between Hachamim and Rabbi Meir and analyze what was being said. Tanya, we have a bright Amar Rabbi Elazar. Amar Nulo Le Meir. They call him Meir because they were colleagues, so they don't have to call him Rabbi Meir. Amanu lo Meir, we said to our colleague Rabbi Meir, "V'halu zechutu le'eved shiyoseh mita'at yedei rabo le'harut." Isn't it a zechut to the eved to go free? Amar lanu, so he said to us, "Chov hu lo." No, it is a chov. Why? She'imaya eved kohen poslo min ha'teruma. The simple reason that if the eved was the eved of a kohen, normally he could eat teruma because of the law that says kinyan kaspo, that the assets of a kohen eat teruma. So now that he's free, he loses the ability to eat teruma. So he is indeed there's a chov. Amar lulo. So we told him v'halo ma im yirtze shelo lazuno velo lefaneso rashai. Which means he has a right, the owner, not to be mifanesim. And therefore, there's no loss. Which means since the owner didn't have to feed him when he was working by him, so when he's getting free, so therefore, no loss, because either way, he had the same thing that he had when he was working. Amar lanu, so Bimir answered that, Uma ilu eved kohen shebarach. Let's say the eved of a kohen ran away. Or for that matter, ve'eshet kohen shemarda al ba'ala, or the wife of a kohen that also can eat teruma, that let's say ran away, and therefore he cannot free his slave because the guy ran away, and he cannot give his wife a divorce because she ran away. V'halo ochlim b'teruma, they're still going to eat teruma. Ze enu ochel, but the guy that goes free cannot eat. We don't know exactly what this conversation is yet. The Gemara is going to explain it right now. Aval isha chov hu la. Oh, but the Gemara continues that what? The Hakamim tell me, but we agree that a lady that gets divorced, it is indeed a chov. Why? Sheken pesala min ha-teruma. First of all, she loses teruma if she's married to a kohen. Mafsida min ha-mizonot. And the husband is obligated to give her mizonot. Therefore, when she gets divorced, she loses something that she was getting that is considered a chov. So now the Gemara goes back to that conversation. Mai ka'amru le, umai kam hadar lehu. What did Hachamim tell Rabbi Meir, and what did Rabbi Meir answer? Gee, there was a conversation over here with this Teruma business over here, right? They told them over here that the lady doesn't have to, the Eved doesn't have to be supported by the husband, by the master. That's what Hachamim said. So they're not losing anything. So Rabbi Meir answered back, well, what about Teruma? Because he could run away from the master, and he still could eat terumah. So we don't know exactly what was going on there. What was the give and take in that conversation? So comes the Gemara and says, "Hachi ka'amar lehu." This is what Rabbi Meir was saying, like this: "Heshavtuni ala mizonot." You got me on the mizonot factor, which means you're right. I can't argue with you and tell you that it's a zichut for the eved to have mizonot, because the truth of the matter is, even when he's working mizonot, he doesn't have to give it to him. So I agree with you. I concede. However, matishivuni ala terumah. What are you going to answer me on the terumah? After all, an eved of a kohen does eat terumah. Vehi tamru. And which means, and you're not going to argue with me and tell me he doesn't have to feed him. You're right. He can get terumah from somewhere else. Which means terumah he can eat just as long as he is a eved of a kohen. Terumah can be eaten anyway. So that zechut is his. Once he gets free, he loses the zechut to eat terumah wherever it comes from. So comes the Gemara and says vechi tomru. Now the Rabbi Meir is talking, and if you're going to tell me iba is zarik legita upasile, that no, he can ruin him from the terumah even when he's a slave by just throwing the get towards him. Which means when you throw a get to somebody within his four amot, so the four amot of a person is like his domain. So therefore, he can even spoil him from terumah when he was in the Eved, which is if the guy wants to, I don't want to take the get, the shahrur, and throw it at him without even him receiving it. Just put in his four amot, so he can spoil him from terumah at that point. So therefore, when he's giving him the get, he could have done it without even the guy receiving. He could have thrown it at him with his four amot. This is not good. Shavik levarik vazir alma. Satso, because the guy could run away. Which means since the Eved could run away out of sight, and therefore the master is not going to be able to throw the get at him. So therefore, when he finally gives him the get, it's going to be a chov, because he could lose him the terumah. So therefore, indeed, it is a chov. You're telling me, okay, mizonot, I concede. But terumah. And don't tell me what I mean. Even terumah, he could forfeit, he could take away from him. How? By throwing the get at him with the four amot. The four amot the koneh. Then therefore, the guy's going to be free. And therefore, he loses his terumah. He won't be able to do that. Because the eved, if he wants, can run away. And therefore, the guy's not going to be able to, not only give him the get, he's not going to be able to even throw the get within his four amot. So therefore, when he finally gives him the get, it's going to be considered a chov, because he's going to lose the terumah. Oh, uma ilu eved kohen shebarach. And he speaks it out. And Joseph, for the eved kohen, ran away. The ishet kohen shemar da'al bala. For that matter, the wife of a kohen that rebels and runs away. Halo ochlim betumah. Right? They can sleep terumah, because as long as they don't get the get, they sleep terumah. Vezeh eno ochel. But this guy that gets the get, he loses. So therefore, the Rabbi Meir is arguing that indeed it is still a chov because of the terumah factor. So comes the Hakamim and said, Shapir ka'amar lehu. With the Gemara says, you know what? That's a good claim that Rabbi Meir is saying, which really indeed, omezonot might not be a chov, but terumah is a chov, because as long as he's still an eved of a kohen, terumah is still in the picture. That even if you want to tell me the master doesn't have to support him, but he can get the terumah from anywhere else. And don't tell me that he can take that away by throwing a get at him, because the guy can run away and, you know, be incognito, so he can never throw the get at him, and therefore he can always just keep on eating terumah. Amarava. So comes the Gemara and says, "Hainu dekam mehadrele b'matnitin." That's what the rabbis answered to Rabbi Meir back in the Mishnah, where we had a vague statement we didn't understand. Now we understand that statement. What did they say? Mepene shehu kinyano. In the Mishnah, we read that the rabbis told Rabbi Meir, "Terumah is not a claim against us. You know why? Because he's his acquisition." And we didn't know what that meant. Now the Gemara is explaining it. The ba'esh shakil arba'a zuzeh mi Yisrael upasil lekol hechad de'iteh. He could sell him, which means if he wants, he could sell him to a Yisrael. The Kohen could take a small amount of money, the Gemara says, four zuz, and what? Take four zuz, I'm sorry, right? Sell him to a Yisrael, and therefore sell him from terumah. So therefore, it's not a chov. because he could have done it. You're right, he couldn't have freed him because the guy could run away. So he's not going to be able to get his get within the 4 amot. However, if he wants, he could sell him for a small amount of money. The Gemara says a small amount of money because nobody's going to buy an Eved that's running away, that's not around anymore. He can't find the guy. So it's like he's buying an option of some sort. And I'm selling it to you for a small amount. And the vet that you find him, he's yours. But the point is, he could sell him to Israel. What happens once he sends him to Israel? No more terumah. So if it's just spoil him when he's an Eved, so if we didn't lose anything by freeing him.
But it's only for a Kohen.
Right.
There's only an Eved.
Oh, so that's the Gemara's next question. Gemara's Ulabi Meir Tinah Eved Kohen. According to you, it's only considered a Chov by an Eved of a Kohen. Eved Yisrael, Ma'ika Lememar. But what are you going to say by an Eved of a Yisrael? Because Eved Yisrael doesn't need Terumah. All he eats is Mizonot. And Mizonot, you don't have to give him. So therefore, L'chaura, Eved Yisrael is going to be a Zechut, even according to the Bimeir. Amar Mishmuel Bar Yitzhak. Mepnesh Mafsido Me Shifhak Anit. Which means, even an Eved of a Yisrael, it's a chov. You know why? Because now he can't marry a shifcha kenanit. An eved kenani can marry a shifcha kenanit. Once he gets free, he can only marry a bat chorin, a free girl. Now it's an advantage to an eved to marry a shifcha kenanit. You know why? Oh, the Gemara says, Adaba, hanematiru bebat chorin. What are you talking about? Adaba, by freeing him, now he can marry a free lady. So therefore, that's better to marry a free lady than a shifcha. Gemara says, no, sir. Avda behefkira nihale. An Eved would rather live a life of hefkir. And you know what? Zilale. He could mistreat the shifha because she's low in his eyes, and therefore shkihale. She's always around for him to have fun with him, so to speak. And pritzale. And she's a pirutza. The shifahot are promiscuous, and therefore the Eved rather have a good time with the Shifcha behifkir rather than marry a batorin. So therefore, the Gemara, so the Hakamim say, you know what? It is indeed a chov, because now by freeing him, you lose the Shifcha kenanit factor, and therefore it's considered a chov. That is the bottom line sevara of Rabbi Meir by an Eved of a Kohen. And for that matter, I guess an Eved of a Eved said, "What did Eved Kohen now?" Which is the bottom line, famous statement of the Gemara: "Avda behefkera nihale," which means an Eved chooses to live efker. And I'm going to give you the words: "Zilale," since she's low in his eyes, so he's not scared to take advantage of her. Shkihale, she's available to him. And Pritzale, she's Pirutza. And therefore, she says, Mitnaheget emo bepirisut, she acts with him in a pirisut way. And therefore, the trim, that is advantage. Ha'omer. Okay, we go to the next Mishnah. Ha'omer, tenu get zel ishti. Guy tells his friend, his friends, tenu get zel ishti, give this get to my wife, or give the star shahrut to my slave. Umit, the sender, it's the mishaleach, died, okay, before he gave over the star. Lo yitnu lachar mita, he cannot give it after death. Let's read Rashi over here. Rashi says, Haomer tenu get. Now the Agot Abar takes out the word ze. Okay, we'll see why he takes out the word zeh. Garsinam bematnitin velo garsinam ten. Which means, do not learn it where he told the Eved ten. If you would have told him ten, it's master, the get is already in his hand, in the shaliach's hand, and he's just telling him, give it to my wife. He didn't say that. He said, shalom masram liyad shaliach behayav. Rashi learns the case that the shaliach did not get hold of the get in his life. Which means the mishaleach, the sender, the husband, did not give the get to the shaliach when he was alive. He just told him, do me a favor, give the get. Where's the get? The get's over there. Give the get over there to my wife. Lefichach lo nechleku hachamim bedavar lomar shemisha'ar yishona zachalu ha-shaliach le'eved. Which means that she's saying a chidush over here. Normally, what we say, according to the rabbis, once the shaliach gets the gets the get, so we said, by let's say, by get shechrur, right? The rabbi said that get shechrur of abadim is considered a zechut for the eved, right? Hachamim. That freeing a slave is a zechut. Once the shaliach gets the get, that she's telling you, Hachamim, I'm going to say, well, for practical purposes, the guy is free. Now, this is what Rashi is saying over here. We have a stira on Rashi from something that he said earlier. No, reading what Rashi says now.
If the shaliach gets the get, I don't care if the mishaleach, the sender, dies. Once the shaliach gets the get, he's zocheh for the eved. It's like the eved is free. That cannot be the case of it. The case of it is saying where the guy told the shaliach, go and give the get. Before the shaliach even picked it up, the guy died. Mm-hmm. But again, she's telling us the big hadush here. Had the shaliach pick it up before the sender died, the eved would go free. And for that matter, the lady, the lady is considered a chov. By the eved at least. Now this contradicts a Rashi that we learned on Daf Tet Amud Bet. If you remember on Tet Amud Bet, when this case came up, Rashi clearly said that when the shaliach is zocheh in the shihrur, all it means is that the the master cannot retract, but he's not freed until he actually gets the document. Which means, over here he's saying something different. Over here he's saying, no, once he gets the document, it's effective that the guy is free. All we're saying, that's why that she has to make the case that's talking about what? Where he died before he even picked up the document. But in a kind, if he picked up the document, the shaliach, since it's zechut, it would be effective immediately. But we have to give a case where it's not effective. So that means the guy who's sending it died, means the Adon, had to die even before the shaliach picked it up. So we have a contradiction in Nashi. So if you go back to Daf Tet, Tosfot points out this contradiction. Go to Daf Tet Amud Bet, look at the Bura Matrit Tosfot, Lo Yitinu Lahar Mita, Perush Bekuntras, even though the rabbis say it's good for the eved to go free. When the shaliach gets the shtar, all it does is that the owner cannot retract. But as long as the get doesn't get to his hands, that's the way that she learned on Daf Tet. That what? The holding the shtar of the shaliach only affects that the master cannot retract. But he's not actually free until he gets the get itself. Therefore, according to the Shian Daf Tet, if the owner died at that point, he's not free. Because what's going to happen? The eved is going to become the property of the inheritors. However, v'davar tema perusho, kevan dizchutu, since it's a zechut for the eved to go free, pshita dizochel le'altar. On the contrary, the second the shaliach picks up the gift for the eved, it should be the eved's. And if we should be free on the spot. Kevan damne gebes shi'ru ten kizchi. Especially that we say when you're giving the shaliach the gift, it's like you're telling him, be zocheh for the eved. Like, so he says, that she himself retracted, which we just read, al mishnazu da omer tenu garcinan velo garcinan ten get ze. Because if you would have said ten get ze, ze is much where the get is here. It's not here the get. He's just saying the ten get, which means he didn't get it in his hand, and then the shaliach, and then the mishaleach, the sender, died. So you see from Rashi that Rashi really holds like Tosafot in the end. That because if he would have gotten it to shaliach when the sender is still alive, it's over. The guy is free. I don't care if he dies. That's why Rashi had to say the case. There was no get in front of anybody. He just told, you know what? Go get the get shichrur and go. In the interim, before the shaliach picked it up, the sender died. So then we have a very important. The sender died, and therefore it's no get because the shilihut is broken. And that's why Tosfot says that Ashi was Hozer Bo. So very important to know that Ashi and Tosfot really agree now. So bottom line, you want to crystallize, Mishaleach is the sender. The Mishaleach gives the get to the Shaliach. Once the Shaliach gets it in the Zochet for the Eved, I don't care if the Mishaleach dies. The Eved is free. Here we're talking about a case where the Mishaleach tells the Shaliach, go give the get. The get's over there. Go get the get and give it. In the interim, before the Shaliach picked it up, the Mishaleach died. That's why the Mishnah says it. No freedom. Because what's going to happen? Once he dies, the Shilichot is obviously broken. He wasn't Zochei yet. The Eved is considered property. The property falls to the inheritors. And that's it. And who adin by the case of get? Hamid, Tenu get Zele Ishti. And we will see in the Gemara. He tells him, Tenu get Zele Ishti, give the get to his wife. Shtad Shalu Zele Abdi, Hamid, Lo Yitru Lahan Mita. Good.
Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah says, next case. Tenu mane le'ish ploni. Similar case, but this with money. Give mane, whatever, $100 to this guy, umet, even though the shaliyah and the mishaliyah died, yitnu lahar mita. It's still given after mita. Now we have to see what's the difference between get and shichrur to the case of money. Okay, so we have to see. Look at the. Okay, good. Lo yitnu lahar mita. I'm just looking at Rashi. Digita lo avi ad mateli ad liyade. Right, the get is not hal until he actually gets it. Vehi mateli ade hamitle. She's by the time he got to the shaliyah's hands, let's say, already the guy died. Upakali reshute. Therefore, he loses it. It's not his reshut anymore. Should everyone went to the inheritors, like we said. Okay, so comes the Gemara and begins. Okay. Amar b'Yishak, Bar Shmuel bar Martav b'Shmuel Rav, v'hu shesivurin u'munachim b'kerem zavit. This law of the money that you're telling me that what the guy tells the shaliyah, go give the money to so and so, even though the mishaliyah dies, the money is considered given, which means he cannot retract. It's considered done. It's only talking about in the case where the money is designated. It's piled up. It's a designated money where they know where it is. That she says, "Vehusha sivurin mane diktani matnitin bisvurin umunahina maot askinan." The money is designated. Bamar maneze. You told me, see this money over here? Tenu leplon. So comes Gemara and says, "Bekirim zavita in the corner." B'may askinan. What's the case? Ilema bebari. If it's talking about a regular case of a healthy guy, telling his friend, give the money to so and so. Kisivurin may have it. What do I care if they are piled up? Halom mashach. If the shaliyah didn't pick them up when the guy was alive, he didn't make a zechut for him, and therefore, when the mishaliyah died, it should be no deal, which means the shaliyah has to pick it up when the guy's still alive. So what do I care? Even if it was designated, the money that's over here. So what? If the guy didn't pick it up and the mishaliyah died, it should not work. He's sivurin mayavi halo mashach, and therefore the yorshim are not going to be hayav. Yorshim will inherit the money now, and they don't got to do anything. So comes again what says, Ve'ela b'shchiv mera. Oh, so you tell me, it's a new law. It's talking about a guy on his deathbed. The guy on his deathbed, what did he tell the sheriff? Do me a favor, that money over there, that pile over there, give it to this guy. So the Gemara says, my idiya sivurin. Why do you need it to be piled? Right? Ki in sivurin nameh. Even if they're not piled, because we have a rule when it comes to a shchiv mera. Da'ikai ma'lan, the divrei shchiv mera kichtuvim v'chim surim damu. Rabbi's made a special law that when a guy's on his deathbed and he commands to do something, give this money to souls, even without a shtar, we consider it already, it is done. It's considered as if it was given over, because we don't want the shchiv mera to get nervous that they're not going to fulfill his words, and different from that, it's going to make him get more sick. So therefore, what do I need it to be piled up? If the guy's on his deathbed, he tells the shaliyah, give the money to so-and-so, wherever the money is, it's considered as if it's given already, so that we don't understand the case in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid said, Le'olam bibari. It's talking about a healthy guy. Also, our question was, what's a healthy guy going to do? He didn't acquire the money. The shliach didn't take the money. So it says, "Keder avuna amar rab, tamar avuna amar rab, mane li biyadecha, tenahu lo lifloni b'ma'amad shloshtan kana." The law of Rab called ma'amad shloshtan, in the presence of three. What is this law of ma'amad shloshtan? You have three players over here. You have the person that wants to give the money. You have the person that is receiving the money, and then you have the middleman. Who's the middleman? This middleman over here, which we can call him the shaliyah, but he's also the one that was watching a pikadon for the mishaliyah. Which means, let's say you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven, at a previous time, gave Shimon something to watch. They gave him pick an asset, right? He gave him a diamond ring, whatever it is.
I want you to watch this ring for me. So Shimon is holding a ring for Reuven. So Reuven can tell Shimon, that ring that you're holding for me, so it's by him already, that ring I want you to be zoche for Levi. So in such a case, it's going to work. Why? Because our question was, what do you mean? But the Shnei wasn't zoche yet. He was zoche. He was zoche because he was a pikadon. It was like he was watching it anyway for Reuven. So in such a case, you call the Ma'amad Shiloshtam lore, that Rav holds that Reuven can give something to Levi, so long as it's already in the hands of Shimon. Even though he dies subsequently, and Levi didn't get it yet, doesn't matter. Since it's by Shimon, it works. Now, why does it have to be Sivurim? Why does it have to be designated? So the Gemara explains that the reason why it has to be designated is because the item has to be around, as opposed to, let's say, if it wasn't a picadon, like I said, a ring that he's watching, he cannot spend it. That's in his possession. But if it was money, money is movable. She said, the money that you're watching for me, right? I want you to, or the money that I lent you. Say that. No, I'm watching for me. Watching doesn't, I can't spend it either. The money that I lent you, I want to gift that to Levi. Well, that money's not around anymore, because when you lend somebody money, that money's allowed to spend. So on that, it's not going to work, because he owes that the item has to be around in order for this to work. So it's working with a batanat bari, with the concept of ma'amad shiloshtan. I think I'm going to explain this in a moment. But the point is, if somebody asks you, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? When the Mishnah says that what? That if a person says, maneh lifloni, right, he wants to give money to so-and-so, ten maneh liishploni, umet, yitinu, the case is talking about ma'amad shiloshtan, Reuven tells Shimon, the pikadon that is by you, I want you to give it to Levi, even though Reuven dies before it gets to Levi, since it's by Shimon already, it's considered he was zochefim, and therefore, even after death, he must give it. That is the opinion of Rav Zvid.
Still Sivurin, or that's...
It has to be Sivurin. Sivurin means it has to be designated. We will see in the Gemara clearly why it has to be designated. I told you the Sivara already. Rav Papa says no. Le'olam b'shchiv mera. I'm going back, Rav Papa says, I'm going to tell you the case of the shchiv mera. Ki idach de Rav. And this is following another statement of Rav. Damar Rav. Shchiv mera shahamar. I give this money to so and so. Right. Maneze notnim. Manesetam in notnim. Hashin and Shema mane kavur kama. Which means like this. We have a law of Rab when it comes to a Shechiv Merah's gift. He says like this. Let's say a guy says, Tenu mane lifloni menechasai. Right, when it comes to saying give some money to this guy over here, so the law is like this. It depends what he said. Maneze, if he designated the money, notnim, because the law of shkiv merah is what, even though he dies, the money is given, because we consider it as given even when he was alive, but only when he designates. However, if he just says maneze stam, give money to so and so. As a shechiv merah,
designated amount or the actual money?
The actual money is here in front. He's pointing to the money. Then the shechiv merah's gift is a gift. Even after he dies, doesn't matter. You got to execute. However, when he says maneh stam, he just says give money to so and so. Give $1,000. So that, but it doesn't point. It's not designated. Then already hayshin and shema maneh kavur kama. Interesting. Then we suspect that maybe there's some money that's buried somewhere, and that's what he intended. Which means when this guy comes along to the inheritance and said, hey, your father said to give me $1,000. Yeah, go on, it's buried somewhere. Go find $1,000. We know what he's talking about. If he said this $1,000, you can argue with it. But if he said manista, maybe the money was buried. Oh, so therefore, the Mishnah is talking about ma'ot sivurin. Because it's a shechiv merah. Our question was, if it's a shechiv merah, why does the money have to be designated? No matter what. The shechiv merah, whatever he just says to do is done. Even if the money is not designated. No, it's going according to Rav. And Rav goes, if the money is not designated, the inheritance can come along and say, yeah, our fathers are talking about some money that's buried somewhere. Go find it. That's what has to be simurin. Oh, bilcheta, badalaka, nekbura lo hayshinan. We don't follow Rav. Which means you don't suspect that what? that the guy had some money hidden somewhere. So even if he didn't say maneh zeh, according to the halakha, the inheritors cannot come along and say, oh yeah, we're not giving you the money, go find it. Probably our father meant it with some money buried somewhere, go find it. Now, you don't suspect that situation. But according to the Mishnah, that the Mishnah was following that opinion, that's why it's maneh sivurin. It's money that's piled up, and it's talking about a shkiva. So we have a fantastic machloket over here, just to get a kid between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. How to learn the Mishnah. The case of maneh, tnu maneh liploni, and then the guy died. According to Rav Zvid, it's talking about matanat bari. Okay? So you remember Rav Zvid's bet, bari. It's talking about matanat bari. Oh, matanat bari, but he didn't get the money yet. He did get the money through a third party, which means it was Ma'amad Shloshtan. Reuven had money by Shimon. He told Shimon, I want you to be Zocheh for Nevi. It works only when the money is Savur, like we're seeing the Gemara now. Rav Papa comes, nah, we're talking about a Shechiv Merah case. Oh, Shechiv Merah case, the guy's on his deathbed, so what do you have to say the money is designated? Because we're going to Rav Shita, if the money is not designated, it doesn't work. Because the Yoshim could come along and say, ah, there's Maneh Kavur. The money was buried somewhere, therefore we'll go find it. We're not giving you anything. Oh, but if it's Maneh Zeh, so then already there's nothing to talk about. It's like it's given over already, even after he dies. Because the Matanah B'Shechiv Merah, we consider it as if it's given over. Because even though he didn't write a shtar or anything like that, because we don't want the Shechiv Merah to be preoccupied, they're not going to fulfill his words. Now comes the Gemara and says, Rav Papa, my ta'amah lo amah k'rav Zvid. Okay, now we want to go and see why each rabbi didn't like the other rabbi's opinion. How come Rav Papa that says about the Shechiv Merah? How come he doesn't hold like Rav Zvid that says the case is talking about a Matanah of a Bari? Akasavara Papa ki amar Rav lo shena b'malve velo shena b'pikadon. Because Rav Papa holds, I agree with this Ma'amad Shloshtan business, but I hold that when Rav mentioned this Ma'amad Shloshtan business, it wasn't only by a pikadon that's there, it was said even by a milve, even by a loan, which means, so it doesn't have to be sivurin, which means he held, if let's say Reuven lent money to Shimon, he could tell Shimon, that money that I lent you, I want that money to go to Levi. Now, then if that's the case, it doesn't have to be sivurin. Sivurin means it's there. Now, if it's a loan, it doesn't have to be there. Now, we're learning the Mishnah, it's talking about a case there. So therefore, Rav Papa says, I couldn't learn it the case of the Ma'amad Shloshtan of a Bari. Because if that's the case, I hold it doesn't have to be there. I hold even if it's not there, even if it was a malveh, even if it was a loan, the law is that it's going to transfer even after he dies. So that's why he cannot learn in that case. Okay, good. So Rav Zvid, my tamalu amar ki Rav Papa. Now go the other way. How come Rav Zvid did not learn like the case of Rav Papa? So about a Shechiv Merah. Lo metuk ma'matnitin b'Shechiv Merah. Why does he want to say the Mishnah's b'Shechiv Merah? He doesn't establish it. Why? Mimai, midiktari, ha'omer, kenu get ze le'ishti, v'shtar she'rur ze le'avdi. You know we're not talking about a Shechiv Merah in this Mishnah? From the first case. What was the first case in the Mishnah? Guy says, tenu, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar she'rur to my evet. Umet, and then what happened? The guy died. Lo yitnu le'achar mita. So he cannot give it after death. Now, the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ta'ama demit. Only because he died. Ha mechayim notim. But if he was still alive, obviously, he's able to execute it, and you give the get to the shaliach, and you give the shechrur to the shaliach, and the guy is freed, and the lady is divorced. So Gemara says, wait, ta'ama de amar tenu. But that's only because he said the words tenu. Ha lo amar tenu en notnim. But it's matter that if he didn't say the word tenu, even mechayim, even when he's alive, it's not going to be en transact. Because if he just tells the shaliach, write it up. Write it up is not enough. Write it up, maybe just tell him to write up to have it ready. Which means the Mishnah is saying the only way it's going to work mechayim when the guy's still alive is if he told him actually tenu, and therefore the Gemara b'shechiv merah afagav de lo amar tenu nothing, but a shechiv merah even without tenu you give. See, I'm explaining to you now outside. I'm making a deal for my Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this: guy tells the shaliyah. Let's talk about the one case so we don't confuse ourselves. Shechrur avadim. Guy tells the shaliyah. Tenu shi'arur zeh le'avdi. So what's the law? If the guy dies before the Shaliach gets it, no deal. Oh, but if the Shaliach gets it when the Mishaleach is still alive, you got a deal. Guy's free. So you see, we're making a Hiluk between Mehayim and Mita. Depends if the guy's still alive when the Shaliach got it or not. There's a Hiluk between when he's still alive or not. In which case are we making the Hiluk? In the case of Tenu. In the case of where he told the Shaliach, give it. Where he gave him orders to give it. Implying what? That if he didn't tell him orders, give it. If he just told him, write it up. Write it up is nothing. Even Mehayim, even if the Shaliach picked it up when the guy was still alive, means nothing because he didn't tell him to give it. As long as you didn't tell him to give it, it's nothing. So if you're going to tell me that, that's not so. Because if you're learning the case, it's talking about a Shechiv Merah, even if he just says... Not even give it. Even if he just says, even if he doesn't say tenu, even if he just says write it up, whatever the Shechiv Merah's language is, even Mehayim is considered executed. So therefore, from the fact that the Mishnah said the only case Mehayim that's going to work is a case of tenu, it cannot be talking about a case of a Shechiv Merah. Look at the Rashi. We'll read this aside again. More clarity, Rashi. Look at Rashi, fourth line. Dama, damar tenu, kilomar. The case that the Mishnah is saying, if he was alive, it's okay. Tama, damar mikara tenu. Right? Because he said tenu get leshti. He said give it. Ha lo amar tenu, ela kidvu. Let's say he just told me write it. He didn't say give it. Lo avitali tarad matnitin tama de lo yitnu mishum mita. Dafidu mehayim name in notnim. Even if he's still alive, we're going to say don't give the get. Ad de lema tenu. Medelo ketani omer. Kitvu get l'ishti v'emet lo yitnu lachar mita shma mina di'i amar ache. The fact that it didn't say the case of kitvu, we can learn from that even if he was still alive, afilu ma'ayim namer lo yavinan. Even Meshchiv Merah, but it's talking about the case of Meshchiv Merah, afagav de lo amar tinu ela kitvu yavinan. Because according to we're going to see this Ishtav Rabbi Shimon Shezuri. Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, which we'll see right now, holds a Meshchiv Merah that just says write it up. Write it up means write it up and give it. You know why? Because the guy's flustered. He's on his deathbed. He didn't get around to say give it. So even write it up is considered enough. So now I'm going to say again.
Of course, why would you write it up and not give it though?
No. Which means when a regular case, outside of a Shechiv Merah, if a guy just says write it up. No. Write it up. I don't tell you to give it. I want it, to be prepared. So therefore, let's say he wrote it up. And the Shliach holding it means nothing. The Eved is not free. The only reason why we're saying the Eved goes free if the Mishaleach is still alive because he told him, give it. Oh, once he tells him, give it, the Shaleach picks it up, the guy's still alive who sent him, the Eved is free. Mashma what? That if he didn't tell him, give it, if he just told him, write it up, even if he's still alive, it's not going to work. But that's not so. For cases talking about a Shechiv Merah, even if a Shechiv Merah says, write it up, it's considered as if it's signed and delivered. Even Mehayim is going to be okay. Why? Because the Mishavon Shezuri holds that a Shechiv Merah doesn't have to say tenu. Because you assume that he's flustered, so he didn't get around to saying the word tenu. How do you know that? The Gemara says, Ditnan, Barishona, Yu Umrim. Originally they used to say it like this, Hayotze Bekolar. Let's say, God forbid, a guy's being sent out, capital punishment, the government's going to, kill him, Kolar, they're going to hang him. The Amar, and he tells his Shaliach, Kitvu get le'ishti. He just tells him kitvu. He doesn't even tell the Shaliach, write the get. Hare elu yichtivu v'yitnu. Which means, even if you said, write it up, write it and give it. Hazru lomar. When you went, they went further and they said, Afa mifarish v'yotze b'shayara. Not only a guy's going out to die, even if a guy's going out on a trip, he's going on a caravan, things like that. Also, since it's dangerous a little, so therefore we're concerned. He doesn't want his wife, let's say, either maybe to fall to Yibum and things like that. So he wants to give the divorce. So he says before he leaves, Kitfu, you give it. Rabbi Shimon Shezuri went, Afam Sukan, even a Shechiv Merah. Also, what do you see that he holds, Rabbi Shimon Shezuri? That a Shechiv Merah that says Kitfu, it's as if he's telling him Kitfu Vinatnu. So therefore, let's go back to the claim of Rav Papa said, Rav Zvid said, I don't want to learn the case of the Mishnah is a Shechiv Merah. You know why? Because if it was a Shechiv Merah, the Mishnah would not have to say tenu get. Shchimera even works with a case of kitvu get. But from the fact that Mishnah said tenu, must be we're talking about a healthy person where only tenu works, but kitvu would not work. Mehayim. Comes the Gemara and says, Matkif la Rabashe. Rabashe comes along and asks a question on this line of reasoning. Uman nemalan de matnitin nebi Shimon Shezuri. Who told you that our Mishnah is following the Bishimon Shezuri that says, Kitvu is enough by a Shchiv Mera, Dilma Rabbanani. Maybe it's following our opinion, the opinion of the rabbis. The rabbis say by a Shchiv Mera you still have to say Tenu. It was only the Bishimon Shezuri that said Misukan doesn't have to say Tenu. But according to the rabbis that are going to be Shimon Shezuri, they hold even a Shchiv Mera have to say Tenu. So if that's the case, I'm not going to be talking about even a Shchiv Mera.
What are you saying? But don't make the diuk?
Yeah, well, no, which means Rav Zvid, your whole claim is we can't be talking about Shchiv Mera because the Mishnah says Tenu and the Shchiv Mera doesn't have to say Tenu. Yeah, that's going to be Shimon Shezuri. But who says the Mishnah is going to be Shimon Shezuri? Maybe the Mishnah is going to the Banan that say even a Shchiv Mera has to say Tenu. So therefore, the Mishnah is correct. The Mishnah can be referring to a Shchiv Mera. That's why it says the words Tenu even by Shchiv Mera. So you know, yeah, which means Rav Zvid, if that's your whole reason why you didn't go like enough Papa, that reason's not enough. Comes the Gemara and says, Gufa. Now we're going back to a subject we just mentioned. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Maneli biyadecha tenau leploni, be ma'amad shiloshtan kana. We're going back to the law of Rav, the ma'amad shiloshtan law. Right? Reuven has a pikadon by Shimon. He tells Shimon, that the pikadon that you have, I want you to give it to Levi. Even though Reuven dies, doesn't matter. The pikadon goes to Levi. It's mistabed that this case is talking about bepikadon. Pikadon meaning it's a collateral that's there. Like I said, a ring. Something that's there. Aval bemilve lo. But when it comes to a loan, no. Why? Because the ma'ot are not there. So at the time, you're saying, the money that's by you, there's no money by him. The money was spent already. So therefore, you cannot be meknes something, like so to speak, that's not there. That's what it would make sense to say. This is who's talking over here, Rav Arava, saying it would make sense to say that this ma'amad shloshtan law of Rav was only said by a pikadon, but not by a malveh. But then you know what he says? The Elohim, but I swear, Amar Rav afidu b'malveh. Rav said it even by a malveh. Even by a loan. Now we have to see the mechanics, how this works. Itman Name, we have a statement to support this. Amar Shemuel Mishemed de Levi, Melve, Li Biyadecha, Tenau Lo Lefloni, Bemad Sheloshtan, Kana. That what Shemuel clearly says the name of Rav. That what? Sorry, the name of Levi. Melve, a loan that is by you, I want you to give it to the third party. He is Kone. Now we have to see again the mechanics. How does not only a pikadon this works, which means you owe me money. So the Reuven tells Shimon, you owe me $1,000. That $1,000 that you owe me, give it to Levi. Even though the loan is not around, the loan, he spent the loan. What do you do with the money? Money is that? Doesn't matter. The money is considered by Levi, meaning even if the Reuven dies, doesn't matter, it is considered, give it a horse. So the Gemara says, V'ta'ama mai. What's the reason for this? Amar Amemor. Amemor says, Na'asa ke'omer lo b'sha'at matan ma'ot. It's as if you look at the time that Reuven gave the money to Shimon, when he made the initial loan, when the money was still there, Sha'bedan alach ledidach ulchol de'atu mahmatach. It's as if Shimon told Reuven, I am bound to you and to anybody that comes as a result of you. So therefore, even though the money is not around now, we're not making the deal now when the money was spent. It's as if, retroactively, exactly, when the money was given over, they were going to give the money to Shimon. It's as if Shimon is saying, listen, I'm bound to you because I owe you the money. But you know what? Not only am I bounding myself to you, but I'm binding myself to anybody that's going to come through you, which means if later on you're going to tell me, give the money to Levi, I'm telling you from now, I am obligated to give the money to Levi. So the shermut is made at the time that the loan is still intact. Right? That's the logic. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rav Asher, le Amemor. So Amemor was the one that gave this logic. So Rav Asher challenges and says like this, Ela me'ata,
הקנה לנולדים דלא אהבו בשעת מתן מעות הכנה מדלא קנו, which means you're going to tell me over here what about, let's say Reuven tells Shimon that what I want you to be kone this money, this I want this money to be given to who, to somebody that wasn't around at the time of the loan, somebody that was born after, just at the time of the loan Levi wasn't around, it wasn't born yet. Okay, now all of a sudden Reuven goes to Shimon, I want you to give that money to Levi. So according to what we're saying now, Levi really wasn't around at the time. Now, how could Shimon say, I'm binding myself to you and anybody that comes through you? Levi wasn't in the world yet. Now we have a rule. Rabbi Meir holds, just establish Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir says, a person is allowed to be makne davar shelo ba le'olam. I could acquire something, I can make a kinyan on something that did not come to the world yet. Which means I could even, let's have a tree, right? The fruit did not come to the world yet. I could sell you the fruit before they come to the world. But even the Rabbi Meir says that I can acquire or I could sell something that didn't come to the world yet, but I cannot sell something to someone that did not come to the world yet. Understand? I could sell perot that are destined to come out of a tree even though they didn't come out yet, but that's davar shelo ba le'olam, that's the item. But I cannot make an acquisition to somebody that did not come into the world yet. So the Gemara says, da'afilu Rabbi Meir, da'amar adam makne davar shelo ba le'olam, right, at the time of the kinyan, which is, I can tell you at the time of the kinyan, I'm being makne to you the tree and let's say the fruits that come out of the tree, even though the fruits did not come out yet. However, which means that's only to a person, but that is in the world. But even if he means to a guy that's not around, you cannot be magneh. So we're back to the question. According to your logic, amemor, your case will only help if Levi was around at the time of the loan. But what if Levi was not around at the time of the loan? Right, Levi was born after. So according to what you're saying, it's not going to work. So therefore, we're going to see on tomorrow's daf, Rav Asher is going to give us a new understanding of how Ma'amad Shiloshtan works with a Melve. Amemor's reason is going to be problematic to a fellow that wasn't around. And therefore, Rav Asher is going to have to redefine to us the mechanics of how this concept work.